chapter 11 is where we'll be looking at this morning, Hebrews 11. Read some verses there, and then also one verse in Hebrews chapter 13. So we'll begin reading Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 32. And it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now if you turn with me as well over to Hebrews chapter 13, and just read one verse, verse 3 of Hebrews 13. It says, "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to fellowship together. Thank you for the freedom that we have to do that in this country, Lord. And we just pray you bless our time together this morning. Help us to see truths from your word, Lord, that we might be challenged and strengthened in our faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're coming to the time every year where we're called upon to remember. And we'd ask the question, well, why is remembering so important? It's just as with the day of Thanksgiving that we have in our calendar year, that those who came before us made our country into what it is today, they had a reason for it. And I think all of us recognize that the idea of remembering is something that we need to have in our lives, because so often we tend to forget. We know that it's very easy for us to forget little things, that always we run into town and we have a list of errands, and sometimes we have it written down, and usually we do better when it's written down, but even then sometimes we forget something, just kind of the thing that was right at the very bottom of the list or whatever it might be. But we recognize sometimes we forget the big things too. What's the true significance of things, the true importance of things, what things are truly important. We get busy with life and we get kind of caught up in the rat race, and we need to be reminded that our man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses, that there's more to life than that. We want to make sure we remember what's important. And specifically this time of year, we remember those who fought and died on behalf of our country. And though we might have a debate in Christianity about whether or not war is ever justified, whether or not a Christian ought to serve in the military or not, the fact remains that there are men and women that left their native country to fight on our behalf. Some made the ultimate sacrifice. Many came home broken in body or in mind. And they fought so that we would live in freedom. And that includes the freedom to even congregate together today in public worship according to the dictates of our own conscience. And so it's knowing that and knowing the sacrifice they made on our behalf, we recognize that it's only right and honorable that we should show them honor, show them gratitude. We know that it is easy for us to take our freedoms for granted. We have a provincial election tomorrow. And it seems with each election that the reports are given that it's always records are made for low voter turnout. It keeps kind of dwindling with each election. But I think it's something where when we start to think about it, we start to realize our freedoms were not free, that they were paid for in blood. It helps us not to take them for granted. It helps us to realize how valuable they are, that there's many people around the world that would wish that they would have the opportunity to vote. And so we think of that, and we honor those that gave their lives for our freedoms. And of those that gave their lives, each Remembrance Day these words are spoken. It says, "They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn in the going down of the sun. And in the morning we will remember them." And as believers, whether we realize it or not, whether we like it or not, we are soldiers in a great conflict as well. We do not fight with guns and grenades. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, we do not take up the sword for the cause of Christ. The only sword that we take up is the sword of the Lord. And we recognize as well, as it speaks of in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that it is not our duty as Christians to fight and to war, and we're not even supposed to strive one with another, that we fight in a different realm. We fight against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so often I think as Christians we realize we get distracted, that we can fight with people, fight amongst ourselves even, but we realize that if we're doing that we're missing where the true fight is, and that it's something much greater than us. We realize that we're part of a conflict between good and evil, against the one true God and the devil himself for the souls of men. The stakes are high, the casualties are high. It's a conflict that has spanned the centuries, and we're called upon as believers to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And just as we are called upon to remember those who fought and died for our freedoms, just as we recognize that that's right and proper, I think as Christians that it's right and good and proper and of benefit to us to remember those that have come before us, who have earnestly and faithfully contended for the faith, who lived their faith, who died for their faith, and who remain an inspiration to us, even though they've been many years, many centuries before since they've passed on to glory. And I think with all of us, when we first get saved, that primarily we're focused on ourselves, that the idea of, well, getting out of heaven, having our sins forgiven, and that's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think we all soon realize, once we get to the other side, when we're children of God, that we're part of something much bigger than ourselves. We think back, for one, to the many different people that the Lord brought into our lives to bring us to Christ, whether it was family, whether it was friends, whether it was somebody in a church, different people that influenced us, shared the gospel with us, that we realized that the Lord had a lot of people that had a part in bringing us to know Him. But then we start to think about it, and we think, well, with each of those people that God used, well, there is a whole group of people that the Lord used to bring them to Christ. And we can think back and realize how big that it is, that this line extends back. It extends across country, across continents, it extends across nationalities and across languages, back to the men and women of the Bible. That is this holy band that is growing bigger, this throng that is increasing in size, this great cloud of witnesses that is spoken of in the Scriptures. And when we ponder kind of the big picture of this, it gives us pause. It makes us value what we have. Because just as it's easy in our day and age to take our freedoms for granted, I think we recognize as well that it is easy for us to take our faith for granted. That for us, that there is little or no cost for us to be a Christian. That we can be as faithful a Christian or as unfaithful as a Christian as we want to be, and there's not going to be any consequence to us. That if we want, our Christianity can simply be something that we bring out on Sunday morning and then put back in the closet for the rest of the week. And we can be quick to forget how precious our faith is and how precious it should be to us. And I think it's necessary for us to be reminded of that fact. And one of the best ways that we can do that is when we take time to remember those who have come before us, those whose faith was real and vibrant, those who trusted the Lord and were faithful to Him even unto the death, that their faith was life-changing, that it wasn't just something that they kind of, that was in their mind, just kind of a theoretical, hypothetical. It was practical. It was, they lived what they believed, and they made a difference in their age and in their time. And we see in Hebrews 11 that Hebrews 11 is what's called the faith chapter. That with pretty well all the verses that it says, it ends, or it begins rather with the words, by faith they were able to do these things. And we know it, verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so this is a testimony of these different ones that believed that God was, believed that He was a rewarder of them that diligently sought Him, and they sought Him, and they found who He was, and they rejoiced in that, and it changed their lives, and it caused them to change many other people's lives as well by their influence. That we recognize, of course, that God is deserving of all the glory, that anything that we do is because of Him, but we see here in Hebrews 11 that He gives honor to those that honored Him. He gives a testimony of their faithfulness. We would call them heroes of the faith. Some are honored by name and some are not. That we see kind of a list that we read that we don't see specifically of who's connected to each description. And some we see probably aren't connected to any one specific person, but to many different individuals. And it's just as in the military, that's, we know that we go through a conflict, some are decorated for valor. Some, in many ways, should be decorated for valor, but their names are never brought to the fore, or maybe the people who witnessed their act of valor passed on before they could report it. And so we see that kind of with this, that there's many that are mentioned by name and honored, many that are not mentioned by name. But we recognize with all of them that God knows them. God is not going to forget their work and labor of love. And with all that serve Him and are faithful to Him, that He is going to honor them. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so we see with this chapter here, Hebrews 11, of how many are mentioned. They did great things, they had great victories, and yet we see that there are others that they went through great trials, that we would not look at them as having accomplished great things, but instead of having endured great things. That even though we recognize that by enduring they accomplished great things for God, but it certainly wasn't as glamorous a calling as some of these other ones had. And we see that throughout all these things that they were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they went through these things and endured them, that they their lives were taken away from them, but they did not die in defeat. They died in triumph, that even their death served as a testimony of Christ. And we kind of see that as we see the history of the martyrs through the course of history, of how a lot of times by their death that many people got saved. I was reading a little bit in Faulkner's Book of Martyrs, and it spoke of how with Paul and Peter, when they were in jail, and of course this is not scripture, this is just kind of the history that's been collected, it might just be tradition, but they said that while they were in jail awaiting execution, that several of their guards and dozens of other people were getting saved around them in the prison while they were awaiting their execution. And so we see with that the testimony that they had, the steadfastness of their faith in the face of death. We think of the apostles. Jesus said unto them, in Acts 1 verse 8 that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. And it's interesting, the Greek word that is used for witnesses is the word martyreo, from where we get the word martyr from, that it's the idea of a witness that they were going to witness even with their very lives if they had to. They were faithful even unto death. And so we think of that when we understand kind of the connotation of that word witnesses from the Greek, we see that not only was Acts 1:8 a command unto them, it was also in many ways a prophecy of what they would be, that they would be witnesses and that many of them would be martyrs for the Lord as well. And actually you find just kind of the history as you study about the different apostles that places that they actually died, that they were scattered over many different parts of the earth. And it's interesting to study. But we think of some of the ones we know. We think of Stephen, who was stoned, the first martyr, that even though in the midst of hate he was able to show love, he said, Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. We think of James that was beheaded by Herod. We think of Peter as well, that he escaped Herod's intention to behead him as he did James. But later on, during the days of Nero, he was captured and he was executed by crucifixion. But we find that he was actually crucified upside down. And the reason was is that he said he didn't feel worthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Lord. And so they put him upside down on the cross. We think of his brother Andrew, who was actually fastened to an X cross, and that's why we see on the cross of Scotland, or on the flag of Scotland and Nova Scotia, that they have what's called the Andrew's cross, and it's an X. And the reason for that, it was because he was crucified on an X cross, and he was fastened with cords rather than nails, so that it would prolong his suffering. And he lasted for 2 days after they first put him on the cross before he died, but he spent those 2 days preaching to whoever would hear him about the saving grace of God. We think of Paul, who was beheaded by Nero, on order of Nero. We see his testimony just before he gave his life. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." And throughout that, he didn't deny his Lord. He stayed faithful. And he was a testimony even in death. And we understand that there was continued down through the ages that Nero from history was one of the worst emperors that ever lived. And what happened is that, at least what they figure from history, that he wanted to remake Rome into something more glorious to bring honor to himself, and so he actually set fire to a portion of Rome, and a great fire consumed great portions of the city of Rome. And he was just kind of at his palace, just kind of watching and playing instruments and stuff, and as they say, that he fiddled while Rome burned, even though it wasn't actually a fiddle, but it's easier to understand when they say that. I think it fits in the rhyme a little bit better or something. But we find that what he did is he actually blamed the Christians for the fire. And so he brought persecution upon them. He actually would use them. He would have them soaked in pitch, and then he would put them on a stake, and he would light them on fire to serve as illumination for his garden parties at his palace. And many others were led into the Colosseum to be devoured by wild animals, not only people that were strong, but old men and old women, young women and children. But yet throughout, there is a testimony of them standing firm, holding their hands together, singing songs of praise, as one by one they were silenced by the attacks of the animals. But yet we see that even though they were silenced, just kind of as with Abel, the testimony was in Hebrews 11 that he being dead yet speaketh. And so by their lives and by their sacrifice, they yet speak to us. Through the centuries, countless also suffered. They perished by the sword, by the flame, some by drowning. And we think of many years of those who suffered and died, even just so that we could have the Bible in our own language. We think of William Tyndale, who spent many years of his life translating the Bible into English, spent many of his years on the run because of that. But eventually he was betrayed, he was imprisoned, he was strangled and burnt at the stake. And with all these ones that we think of, that we look back and we have nothing but respect and honor for them, nothing but gratitude, that we realize that they suffered so that others might have the truth of God, that others might come to saving faith. And just as it's spoken of our veterans, that we will, and those that died for our freedom, it says we will remember them, that we think of these ones who died for the faith, that we would remember them as well. And as we remember them, that it would naturally have an effect upon us. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That we see that because of what they did, the testimony that they gave, that we realize that there's some things that are truly important. There's some things in our life that are going to keep us from fulfilling what's truly important. That there's some things that we lay aside, some things we cling to, that we, because of what they have done, because of them going before us and setting this example, that we want to run worthy of such an example that's been left for us. And I think as well that as we think of the past, we think of those that have suffered much for the cause of Christ, I think that it is important for us to remember as well that though in this nation at this time that we live in peace and freedom and we're safe for all intents and purposes from persecution, we recognize that persecution and suffering for the cause of Christ is not a thing of the past. It is a thing of the present. And we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, the other verse that we read, where it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. That there are many in this world today that pay a heavy cost for being a Christian. That they are in bondage even today, that they're in prison for their beliefs. In the country of Iran, there's a man by the name of Yousef Nadarkhani, a 34-year-old father of two, a pastor there. He sits on death row for the crime of apostasy from Islam. He was born to a Muslim family. He became a Christian as a young man. But he is accused of apostasy and he awaits execution there. Fortunately, there's been a lot of significant international pressure that they're revisiting his case, but the threat of his execution still stands over him. In Pakistan, there's a mother of two daughters named Asia Bibi, and she's confined to a cell awaiting execution. She was working on a farm with many other workers and working together. They had a place where they could get water from, and all the other people that she was working with, they said, well, we're not going to drink from that water bowl because you've drunken from it. It's contaminated because you're a Christian. And she sought to defend her faith, and immediately they accused her of insulting the Prophet Muhammad. Soon she was taken into police custody, and she's been in jail for over 2 years. Her family's been threatened. Even a couple prominent Pakistani leaders who came to her defense have been assassinated. And we see these are just a couple examples, but there's many more, that there's many that are in bonds for the cause of Christ. Some are known, many are unknown. That there's many whose sufferings are never brought to light on this side of eternity. And we see in verse 3 where it says, remember those in bonds as bound with them. That it's interesting if you search and kind of find out a bit more about this pastor in Iran, that in many ways we think that, and we realize that in some ways his freedom is at his fingertips, because all he has to do, they've sent groups again and again to his cell and said, well, if you recant, you can go free, that he can be reunited with his wife and his children. All he has to do is give up on his faith. But we realize that there's something that binds him stronger than chains or the bars of the prison, that it's a testimony of Christ. The love of Christ constrains him, that he is determined to be a witness for Christ no matter the cost. And we see in this verse where it says, remember those that are in bonds as bound with them. And it's something to think about, something to contemplate, that that what binds them in prison is also what should bind us, that that we are to the love of Christ that constrains them to serve him, even if it means their death, that same love of Christ constrains us to be witnesses for him that we ought to be. And that it says, and that we remember them that suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body, that even though it's on the other side of the world, that we recognize that we have that unity as God's people, that when one suffers, all the members suffer with it, that it isn't something that we want to kind of put to the back of our mind. We want to bring it to the fore. We want to realize what they're going through, and we want to hold them up in prayer and realize and feel for them, realizing what they're going through and how hard it must be. And so with both, with those who have gone before, with those that even today suffer for the cause of Christ, I think it is something that as Christians we see that we want to make that pledge, that we will remember them. And by remembering them, that it is to honor them, to honor God for raising them up, but also for our own benefit, that we see what their faith meant to them. And we see the difference that their faith has made to us and to others around them. And we say, well, I want to cherish my faith. I want to live my faith. Even if it was just kind of half as much as they did, I want it to be stronger, that I want to be willing to serve the Lord in that respect, that if it ever came to that time, and we don't know if it'll ever happen in our country, but it certainly could be possible that it could. But we would want to say, well, if it came to that, that we'd be willing to give our lives for the Lord, that we'd be willing to die for the cause of Christ. But it's the thought that if we're if we want to have that faithfulness and trust and assurance that we're going to die for the cause of Christ, if it ever came to that, day by day, that then we need to be living for the cause of Christ as he desires, that we would seek to be the men and women of God that God truly desires us to be, that I think we really desire to be as well, that we want to have that we want to have that testimony that we pleased God, that we did what we could, we were faithful, even though it could have difficult consequences for us in this life, that we were willing to do that for his sake. And as it says there in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us be patient, let us endure, knowing that the Lord is coming, and that he is coming to reward all those, just as with Paul, that he said that henceforth is laid up for him a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. So may us, as the Lord comes, may he find us so doing, that we would be faithful, and that we would remember those that have suffered for Christ, those that continue, and that it may challenge us to live the Christian life as God desires us to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and the challenge it gives us. We just pray you would help us, Lord, that our faith would be real, and that we would be faithful unto you, Lord, no matter what happens. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's... turn in our hymnals to one more hymn. We'll stand as we sing number 183, Faith of Our Fathers.